When I taught last, I took you to a place that was not here. When I taught last, I took you to this non-three-dimensional world, right? I went back and I listened to that teaching. And there was some confusion of whether we lived in a three-dimensional world or not. There was this argument whether we lived in a four-dimensional world. Anyway, that was funny. But I took you to this time where time didn't exist. I took you to this space where space didn't exist. I took you to this place called eternity is what we tagged it, right? For lack of a better term. Can I take you there again? You guys know I like feedback, right? Yeah, come on. Take us to... Go. Eternity, God, and the Word. Eternity, God, and the Word are hanging out. God and the Word created everything, right? Can I refresh you on what we've learned from verse 1 to now verse 14? Can I do that? The Word was in the beginning. We covered that, didn't we? The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through the Word. Okay? The Word was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Yeah? Darkness has not overcome the light of the Word. Right? The Word's true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word's true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then we jump to today. Now we jump to verse 14. The Word, who is who? Jesus, God, becomes flesh. This might seem like a small thing for anybody that's been in church. This might seem like a small thing for a lot of people that God became flesh. This is a so important thing. This is a very important thing. So much so that John has to open with it. And prior to all this, everything sounded pretty good. Prior to this, ancient scholars would agree with the majority of the things that he said until he gets to this part that says the Word became flesh. The Word comes out of eternity. The Word comes out of this existence with God into our three-dimensional world. And he becomes a fetus. It's kind of weird. I'd like to be on the Maury show on the Who's My Daddy for this Jesus issue. You guys know the Christmas story? See, we're going to teach John all the way through Christmas. We're not going to take a break and do Advent. We're not going to take a break and teach you the Christmas story. It's now. It's today. Merry Christmas. The Word becomes flesh. The Word becomes this fetus. He comes out of eternity. He comes out of this place that we can't fathom or understand. He comes out of this dimension that we don't know. And he becomes this child. And he becomes this man. And that's where these scholars start having an issue is, whoa, 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 Jesus. No. No, God is God. He's not a man. And so, John, we come to this climax of the prologue. There have been references to the incarnation in previous verses, but they were expressed in a veiled way, right? And now he just says it. The Word has become flesh. Can we read it? It's weird not having the screen behind me. It's weird having it right here. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. Do you guys have your Bibles with you? Can I ask how many people have been reading through John since we started this series? You guys are awesome. I want the rest of you that did not raise your hands next week to raise your hands and say, I've read through John. I've read it in three 30-minute sections, and it took me an hour and a half. I ate my bagel, I drank my coffee, and I had it up on my iPad, and I had the audio Bible going, you know, the creepy guy. And the word became flesh. Some of them are English. But it takes about an hour and a half to go through the entire Gospel of John. And I want you guys reading that. I want you guys soaking in it. I want you marinating in John's words. Because it's going to change your life. Are you ready for life change? Okay, let me read it. ESV says this. The English Standard Version says this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, the Baptist, whom you heard about last week, the crazy guy, bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Sounds simple, right? Yeah? When God reveals God, it is the ultimate revelation. I don't think you heard me. When God reveals God, it is the ultimate revelation. Man, you guys, drink some coffee or something. Or just start paying attention, I guess. That's cool, too. Oh, I'm just kidding. I love you all. Rudolf Schnackenberg. Not reindeer. Rudolf Schnackenberg, who is a German Catholic priest and a New Testament scholar, old school, like 1914. He's dead now, I hope. He says this, "The absolute claim of the Christian revolution could not be put more definitely, as the Word became flesh." The Word has become flesh. Jesus has come. This God of the universe, this Creator, has now become creation. He steps out of His realm in this eternity that we don't fathom and steps into our eternity that we do. This is big news. This is a big deal. Understanding Jesus' deity is crucial to understanding all that He says and does in the rest of the story in John. He is God. Everything that He says, everything that He does, He is God. He is communicating with us on a level that we can kind of understand. He also spoke in riddles known as parables. I kind of laugh at Jesus' approach. He would get asked a question, and then He answers the question with a question. He's the original politician, only He actually had weight to what He had to say. Ouch. I've seen the debates. They're garbage. But God is God. This is an incredible revelation. This glory that's spoken of in verse 16. For from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. And then it goes into verse 17 and it says this, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And what we want to do with this verse, what a lot of people want to do with this verse, is kind of tear them apart and almost look at Moses as a less than kind of a character. And look at the law as a less than kind of a thing, right? Jesus came. He changed everything. He replaced all the Old Testament. He replaced all the law. He replaced everything. Which is true in a sense, but it's not. The same grace, the same glory, the same grace upon grace was in Moses' day, wasn't it? When Moses is up on the mountain, there's this story. He leads these Israelites out of captivity, and these Israelites need a new set of rules. They need a way on how to live. So he goes up on the mountain, and he sees God. He sees a form of God. He sees God's goodness. He sees God's grace as he passes by him. And God is gracious enough to give him these Ten Commandments. Do you guys know what those are? He gives them these as this grace upon grace. A way of life. This is how it should look for you. But we want to separate these things, and kind of like I talked about the... Yes, Holy Spirit? That was a little weird. I thought somebody was coming out. But like I talked about the last time I taught, is we want to separate these things, and we almost want to look at this God of the Old Testament as this jerk, this overbearing rule maker, punisher. But we want to look at Jesus as, oh, you're the awesome part of this whole story. You're the best part of the whole scriptures. That's where we'll just stay in the New Testament. We'll just focus on the New Testament. But that's not true, because the Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word created everything. Everything that has been created through the Word. And that's Jesus. And so this grace, this mercy, this grace upon grace, this isn't a less than, more than concept. It is this theme that has followed through from the Old Testament until now. But we want to separate, and we can't separate those two things, because it is all Jesus. It is all God. It is all good. It is all grace. So we can't separate these things, and people want to. People want to read these claims and say that this is a less than kind of a thing, and yay Jesus, boo Moses. But the Old Testament was abounding in love and faithfulness and is now revealed in the Son, who is full of grace and full of truth, just as he always has been. Some would say Jesus, that John presents Jesus and frames Jesus as almost this replacing and replacement of Judaism, which isn't true. There are like 300 plus prophecies that the coming of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, the Word coming from eternity and coming into our three-dimensional world, that have been fulfilled by his coming. And these are prophecies that are hundreds and thousands of years old from the beginning of the world. And these are things that all the Jewish people knew. These are things that all the Jewish people prophesied. These are things that all the Jewish people were taught. And then Jesus hits the scene, and just like I taught last week, these scholars, these Jewish people, they want to know, who are you, Jesus? And Jesus tells them flat out, I'm the Word that's become flesh. I'm Jesus, I'm God, here for you, in the flesh. No, you're not. Who are you? I'm Jesus, Son of God, the Word that's become flesh. And 300 plus prophecies that have been fulfilled just by Jesus being here, entering the scene, from his birth to his death to his life, to how he was going to be born hundreds and thousands of years prior, and the Word becomes flesh. This is an important thing. The revelation of God in Jesus is not contradictory to Judaism, but rather the very thing for which Judaism had been preparing for. So when the Jewish opponents reject Jesus later in the story, they do so despite their Judaism, not because of it. I've got a lot of Jewish friends. Two. How many Jewish friends do you have? And I've got a lot of Jewish friends that are non-practicing because of the rules. I've talked to you about my Jewish, Catholic, agnostic neighbor that used to live by me, right? I have another friend who his girlfriend is Jewish, and he's been here a time or two, and he says there's no way she's going to step foot in this place. But some of it comes down to this beef with who Jesus was and who Jesus claimed to be. I'm God. I'm here. And that dispute between the Jews and their faith and Jesus and what he's bringing, Jesus is saying this, I'm the guy that's been talked about for thousands and hundreds of years. And they won't accept it. They keep asking, who are you? And I think this whole concept, this whole importance of Jesus coming, wrapping himself in flesh, wrapping himself in our three-dimensional world, was it so we could grasp him a little bit better. We could grasp his ideas a little bit better. We could see him. We could know him. We could sympathize with him. We could get on his level. We could know this God that is kind of unknowable. Because prior to this, he existed in tabernacles, right? This tent. And he would come and he would talk to one person. And they would tie a rope around this person's ankle that had a bell on it. I'm going to say cowbell because they had a lot of cows. Because if it got too crazy and God got too wild, this person who's entering in this tent, this tabernacle, would die. And so they had a way to get him out of there so he didn't just rot in there, because that'd be gross. So they'd pull him out by his rope. That's how God used to exist. God used to exist in pillars of fire and smoke as he led the Israelites out. Is that a God that's relatable? Is that a God that's understandable? The Israelites didn't seem to understand him much. They had a God that would just talk in prophecies through people. Hey, God said this, yeah? And who are you? I'm just a prophet. That whole system changes. This whole thing changes when the Word became flesh. Now Jesus is here, sweating, hurting, aching. Muscles are sore from fishing with his disciples. His feet hurt from walking all over the place. And so what does any of this mean? What does it matter? What's the point of it? What is the point? Jesus becomes this incarnation here on earth, and John's emphasis is on the incarnation's effect on the human quest for the vision of God. He says that in this life, we have not been able to see God with our normal human sight until now. Jesus claims, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And this incarnation has brought us a new way to apprehend God, to understand God. And we witness the witness's account. That's the beautiful thing about all of these Bible stories, this New Testament, these Gospels. These were all men that walked with Jesus that wrote these stories. These were all men who walked with him, talked with him, hurt with him, sweat with him. These aren't made up stories. All of these witnesses have written their letters, and they're not all at the same time. They're all, you know, kind of apart from each other when they had wrote these accounts of who Jesus was and what he was. And they all line up. They all come together and tell one story, which is incredible. It's eternal. And so us, with the Pharisees, a lot of times we say, God, who are you? Jesus, who are you? I'd follow Jesus, but that God, he is. I won't do that. And so this question, maybe you're asking today. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you don't know who Jesus is. Maybe you don't understand who Jesus is or what Jesus is or who God is. He is the Word that has always been. He is the grace that has come and give you grace upon grace. He is the God who has created you and I to live in such a way that makes sense to love, to have mercy, to have forgiveness. He's a God that wants to know you. Just as Jesus came down and knew these disciples, just as Jesus came down and wrapped himself in flesh and walked with all these people and healed people, cried with people, laughed with people, He is a God that wants to know you. The Word wants to know you. That's who He is. That's what He is. And this whole series, this Believe, Live, Love, I think is what we've called it, is all about knowing Jesus and falling in love with Jesus. And to do so, we need that total picture of New Testament and Old Testament coming together. Do we not? Anybody that disputes that, come talk to me later. But we need this. We need this God of grace and mercy of the Old Testament to intersect with this God and grace, God of grace and mercy in the New Testament. We need to see those as one, because that's what they are. And that God of the old and new loves you. He loves me. And together, collectively, Whitewater, we're trying to figure out how to love others in that way. Together, collectively, we're trying to figure out how to love our community. Our mission statement is, we are a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus Christ. That's you, that's me. That's South Dakota, North Dakota, Texas. Papua New Guinea, Chafrica, as we so lovingly call it, because my geography's awful. China and Africa, they're neighbors. No, yeah, good. It wasn't a joke until I said that. But that's the whole mission, is our God loves us. The Creator loves you enough to come out of this eternity, this realm that He's always existed in, that He has created us, and He becomes the very thing He's created. Do you think Jesus hurt? Do you think Jesus experienced sorrow? Scripture talks about Jesus bawling and weeping. As He sits on a hill and He's looking over Jerusalem, and He's saying, you just don't get it. That's a God that we can relate to, is it not? I feel like my words fall flat talking about this. I really do. But know that I've been praying for you all week long. Know that I've been praying for you as we start this series, as we do this thing called John and believe, live, love, and falling in love with Jesus, because my words don't matter. It's Him. It's God. It's the Word living in you that matters. It's the Word that you look to find out how to love others that matter. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through the Word. The Word was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Darkness has not overcome the light of the Word. The Word's true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and now he's here. And now he's here. I think that was him trying to come through the door. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm super excited to be going through this with you because I honestly feel that change is happening within us. I honestly feel that heart change is happening within us, and I can't explain it because, like I said, I feel like my words fall flat and they just don't mean anything. They don't taste salty enough to me right now. But that's not my job. So my prayer is continuing, are you drawn into this God of love? Are you drawn into this person of Jesus that has always been, that is a creator of all? Are you drawn into this? And if you are, say something. If you are, that is beautiful. And if you're not, I'm praying that you will be. The Word of God has become flesh. The Word of God is here. God, I stand here and I just feel like I'm blabbing on and on and on. And I feel like my words fall flat. And that's not a guilt trip at all. I don't want people feeling sorry for that. But God, I know that you're working. I know that you're working amongst all of this. I know that you're working amongst the prayer and the word being spoken in this room this morning. God, you becoming flesh, you, this great creator of everything, becoming flesh. Is huge, is humbling, God, that you would even want to do that you would even desire to do that, that you would even be willing to do that. And the whole reason for what you did that is for me, is for this room, for the world, for everybody that has existed, your entire creation, God, is why you come, why you came. So that you could restore balance in the relationship between you and us. So God, I know that there's people in this room right now that balance is off. The scales are tipped. There are people that have hated you for the events that have happened in their life. God, that they ascribe to you. There are people that have hated you for the people that you, that they ascribe to you that have left this earth too early. God, and the balance you desire for them is to just know who you are and know your grace upon grace. To know that you are love, to know that you are mercy, to know that you do care about them. God, there are people that share my story and have claimed to know you and claim to know your grace and your goodness and mercy, but they don't live it. They like to talk about it, but they don't like to live it. And I know that's hard, God. I know that that's where I was for many, many years, is it sounded good. It sounded like a cool title to have. But when it came down to the doing of the thing, it didn't matter. But God, knowing you does matter. Others knowing you does matter. Our world knowing you does matter. Persistently moving two steps closer to you does matter. And so, God, I pray for that activation. I pray for that care factor to rise, that eternity is at stake. God, that living a life of love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, as Jesus has talked about, is going to change the world. And so, God, we want you to restore balance in our lives. I pray for those people sitting here right now that could care less. God, that have been brought here by their spouse or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or just wandered in on accident because they heard rock music. God, I thank you for them being here. I thank you for the doubt. I thank you that they don't just buy into a system because it's something that their friends have done. God, I thank you for that doubt because I know that you reveal yourself to people in all sorts of different ways. And though we don't see things immediately happen like we would like, God, I know that you're working in these people. And I trust that. And I thank you for loving us all equally and loving us all the same. So God, take these small words, take these concepts that are huge and place them in our hearts. Let them grow within us. Let the importance of you becoming flesh grow within us. God, I love you and I trust you with what you do here. And what you do within each and every one of us. And I just pray that you continue to do that and hearts continue to be molded and shaped. And obedience continues to be molded and shaped. God, that the end result is that we just fall in love with you and that never stops. It's in your name we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.